Well, for those who don't know, my name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor here. And we just want to say thank you guys for being here. We want to say thank you for taking the time to fill out that connection card. If you're online, look for that link. Thank you to all of you who fill it out online, because that's a way for us to stay connected to you. And we really do want to know what's going on in your life so that we can be praying for you. So please make sure that you take time to do that. If you're in the room, you just take that connection card and drop it in the offering boxes in the back of this room. If you're online, you know, just fill it out online and then submit it. And that way, this Tuesday, when our team gets together, we will be praying for you. And we take that so seriously. So we hope that you will take that time to do that. We are in this teaching series called Soul Care. And we just started this this past week, and we're asking this question right here. And that is just, how is your soul? How's your soul? We're focused on the inward. We're focused on how are you doing on the inside. And again, like I said last week when we kicked this off, this is not because we don't think God cares about your body. He cares about your body. If you missed last week, let me just say this. You should go back and watch that because Ellen Hutchins, who shared her story, what a powerful story of God's grace and healing that God does. And He wants to do that in your life. And so if you missed that, I hope that you'll go back and watch that and see how God could use that story to minister to you. Last week, we also said this. There is a difference between self-care and soul care. For the purpose of our teaching, here's what we are saying the difference is between the two. Self-care is focused on me for the sake of me. Sounds a little narcissistic, yes, because it's not about you, right? Here's what it is. Soul care is focused on me for the sake of God's honor and God's glory and for others, to serve others, because that's the way that God has called us to do. He's called us to live like that. But so many times, what hinders us from actually serving others is this one little word called anger. Anger gets in the way. Anger is a barrier so many times. And anger always starts on the inside. Dr. Henry Cloud, who is a Christian psychologist, he defined one of the ways that he defined anger was this right here. An emotion we must have for survival. So let's just stop right there and let's acknowledge that anger is a God-given emotion. Anger in and of itself is not wrong. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us, Paul tells us, to be angry, but don't sin. And so, we know that it's possible, and that emotion that God has given us comes from Him. And having that emotion is not sinful in and of itself. In fact, you think about that anger, God, that emotion was given to you and to me, the whole fight or flight, right? He gives that to you because when you sense something isn't right, you need to either get out of there or you need to defend. You need to fight for your life. And so there's nothing wrong with it in that sense. But as Dr. Cloud goes on to say, but destructive when used in the wrong way. It's destructive when it is used in the wrong way. So when your anger is, you use that and you lash out in word, you lash out in a physical way that to destroy or hurt somebody else, well, that's destructive. That's not helping anyone. It's not helpful for you, and it's not helpful for the people who receive that. And it's not, listen to me, Christ followers, this is not the way that God has called you to live your life. Remember, we looked at this last week in Galatians chapter 5, that the Holy Spirit wants to produce something in your life. And in those fruits, it was gentleness and self-control. So many times our anger comes out of us and it's, you're not in control of yourself. And so you know that's not from the Holy Spirit of God. He did not produce that in you. In fact, here's what James tells us about anger in James chapter 1 and verse number 20. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. See, God desires inside of you. He wants to produce inside of you His righteousness. He wants you to live out His righteousness, those fruits of the Spirit. And anger is not a part of that. Jesus had anger when he went into the temple, right? And when he went in there, there was a righteous anger that he had. Flipped the tables over. They had taken God's house and turned it into something else that it wasn't supposed to be. And so we see anger working itself out in that way even. But anger is not the righteousness that God wants to produce, that he wants us to produce. He wants us to produce a righteousness. I had the privilege this week to sit down with Dr. Maria Gonzalez. Dr. Gonzalez is actually a part of our church family. She has been here for years. And she is a psychiatrist. And Dr. Gonzalez has been using her gift as a Christ follower and serving. She's worked in the hospital setting. She's had her private practice and more recently went back into the hospital setting. And God is using her there to help people in her world. And she brings them God's word so many times. She was sharing with me, you're going to hear this, you're going to hear our discussion in just a minute. But off camera, she was able to share with me of how she engages her patients with God's word. That so many times when she talks to them, she shares with them in the hospital setting or in her private practice, she will tell them that what she does when she becomes anxious, and she'll quote Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing but pray about everything. And then she'll look at those patients and those who are feeling the load, and she'll say to them, Matthew chapter 11 is where it is. She'll look at her clients, her patients, and she'll tell them, Matthew, the God's word says in Matthew chapter 11 that if you're carrying a weight, if you're carrying a burden, Jesus says to come to him, and that's where you'll find rest. Isn't that great? But she also uses the medicine to help people when they need that. So listen into our discussion that we have, and I hope that this will be helpful for you. Here we go.
Well, we want to say again, thank you, Dr. Gonzalez, for being here with us. Thank you so much for taking the time to share and to help us to understand better about anger. And so, you know, my first question for you is the long-term effects of anger. And what does that do to someone when they don't deal with anger that's going on?
Well, we think anger affects all of us at different levels, affects us emotionally, causing symptoms of depression, anxiety, irritability, affects our ability to sleep, our appetite, physically can affect functioning, basic functioning, such as gastrointestinal functioning. Some people might manifest effects from anger as ulcers, skin reactions, something as dermatitis can be a consequence of anger. Blood pressure can go up, heart rate can go up to the extreme of having a stroke or a heart attack. So anger can be very toxic and deleterious to our health.
Yeah. So you would agree that it's very important if we're taking care of our souls, then we need to care about the anger, that emotion of anger that's going on in the inside of us.
Absolutely.
So how do we identify that? Like, how does somebody identify that anger that's going on the inside?
Well, anger by itself is a basic response to a threat. So if it is short-lived and in perspective or in reaction to an appropriate trigger, then that it will serve a purpose of protection. When anger becomes excessive or in reaction of a trigger that might be mild, or if we feel like we cannot control it, or if it can cause any kind of harm to any functioning in life or any relationship or the way that we feel with ourselves, then we can take a hint that we need to pay attention to the way that we are feeling. And the first step would be to recognize that we do have a problem. So we have a saying that is, denial doesn't make things disappear. So the first step would be to acknowledge that we have a problem that we need to deal with.
Yeah. So let's talk about denial for a second. How do people, they show all these symptoms that they have anger, like everybody can see it, but not themselves. How do you help somebody see it in themselves?
I think anger might come up a lot in interactions. And then someone that might be told that they have an anger problem might become defensive, because they might say that they are being accused or blamed for something going wrong, as opposed to taking responsibility or thinking that they have a problem that they need to deal with. They might think, oh, this person might be trying to divert the attention of what the theme or the topic is, and they might become defensive. So sometimes if we see the theme or the concern from somebody else telling us, hey, you know, I think you have an anger problem, as opposed to becoming defensive, let's take a breath and say, you know, more than one person has said that I might have an anger problem. Let me stop and think about it. And
So tell us what is the next step? So we've been confronted, and we don't see it in ourselves, but we've heard it from multiple people that we have an anger problem. What's the next step? You said you need to look at that, but if you don't recognize it coming out of you, how are you able to identify that?
I would say, number one, don't see it as a defect or something that you do on purpose. I think the person that suffers from anger is also a victim of themselves. I don't think they're enjoying being angry. I think it's very painful. So look at it as a problem that needs to be solved. Look at it as something that might not be easy to deal with, but might have a solution.
Okay.
And that is a process.
That's good.
And we might follow some steps to deal with it. And number one would be to see what is the theme. What is it that is making us angry? So
hold on right there, because I want everybody to hear this, because you're about ready to give us three different ways to deal with that anger. And I don't want any of us to miss this, because it's so important for all of us to hear. This will be very helpful for you. And so share with us these three ways. How do you deal with this anger? Steps, helpful steps for us.
So I would say, number one, try to identify what is it that is making you angry. Are you feeling disrespected? Are you feeling pressured? Are you feeling overworked? Are you feeling abused? Are you feeling... And sometimes, you know, I was thinking about that today. I said, you know, some people feel angry when they are righteous. They might think, I'm angry at when something is not fair or someone is mistreated. Try to channel that energy in a positive way.
Yes.
Anger by itself might not be positive. So identify your feelings. Try to see where they are coming from. Identify how are you manifesting that anger. Is it emotional? How is it coming out? Through your tone of voice? Through your interaction with someone? Are you being offensive with the words that you're coming, the way that you're coming through, the words that you're choosing? Are you causing more harm than trying to solve a problem? Are you conveying your message? So watch your tone, watch your words. Watch for the consequences of your behavior. Physically, what are the actions that you're taking? Some people might become angry and destroy property or become physically abusive to other people. So are you causing more harm than solving a problem? So we can choose to stop. We can choose to walk away. Some simple steps that everybody says, well, take a deep breath or count to 10. That might be a combination of relaxation techniques or cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
Us as Christians, we can sometimes say, God, you know, you are in charge, you take over,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Help me make changes in my life step by step. So
yeah.
Those are like Christian cognitive behavioral therapy techniques.
Yes.
If we identify that we might have something more serious, like a substance abuse or a mental illness, then that needs to be diagnosed by a professional and dealt with.
Yes.
There are substances that can cause changes in behavior and emotions, mm-hmm. either by being intoxicated or by being withdrawing from substance. That needs to be dealt by a professional,
yes.
be treated, and that will solve the problem of anger.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some medical illnesses like bipolar or obsessive compulsive disorder, mm-hmm. and there are medications for that. So those are other approaches for treatment too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about that person who says that they are trying to deal with their anger, and you're telling them to, you know, I need to just walk away, or I just need to count to 10. But when they walk away and they're counting to 10 and they're trying to regather their thoughts, but their heart is still pounding and they still feel all that, you know, emotion of anger inside of them, what would you say to them are some ways to work that out in a helpful way and not a harmful way?
Reevaluate your reality. You know, sometimes we are so set in our ways, you know, we are so convinced that we are right. So if we are thinking someone is mistreating me, someone is taking advantage of me, you know, there might be another reality that is also true that might not be ours, and that might make us feel more comfortable. You know, if we think that, you know, the other person might be acting in some way that might not be directed at us, then we might not be reacting in that anger. Or to think that the other person also might need some space or might be having a tough day or a difficult time. And physical space, you know, I always say we all get tempted, we all have feelings, but the difference is how much space we have between emotions and acting out. And that is the area where we have to work at. Something simple is going for a walk or exercise.
Yeah.
Soft music, you know, anything that de-escalates the moment.
No, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
So any last thoughts about somebody who's dealing with anger and they do want to do better in that area of their life? What would you suggest for them?
First of all, think about, you know, get a little bit of ourselves of yourself. Think about how you're affecting other people.
Okay.
There are other people watching and feeling, you know,
mm-hmm.
In your environment. We are not islands. We are all part of a community, part
yes.
of a family, part of society. If you are living in a home, their children, spouses, family members. So think about it. It's not only affecting you, it affects other members of your community and your family. So make the decision to change, not only for your own health, but for all the other people that depend on you or that love you. Think about consequences. It's not about punishment, but everything we do will have a consequence. We'll have a consequence on our health and in our relationships and everything else that we touch. And no matter what the problem is or the trigger is, there is another way that will work out better. You know, there is going to be another solution. And again, depending on that trigger or that root cause, there is going to be one way of dealing with it that definitely is going to be a better approach than acting out on those feelings that will cause harm either to us or others.
Dr. Gonzalez, thank you so much for being here with us. It was very, very helpful.
Thank you for having me.
So there's some real practical steps that we can take right from Dr. Gonzalez. You heard her share that idea of space is so important. Do you create, when you have that anger build up inside of you, do you create enough space? And here's why. Here's why this is important. Watch this. Here's what we're going to see in our text today. Your anger in the moment could cost you tomorrow. How many people do you know that have actually lost their job because of their rage, because of their anger that they had in that moment? It cost them something. Their anger will cost you. That's why you need to create that space. That's why you need to back off and think, how did my boss, how did my employer, how did my coworkers perceive me? Maybe there was some truth to what they were seeing, even though I didn't mean it that way. And then yet you let your anger take over and now you're out of a job. Or maybe it costs you your relationship. Maybe your anger has cost you a relationship in life. Anger costs. But what we're going to see in our text today is that your anger in the moment could cost you tomorrow, but daily submission brings freedom for today and tomorrow. So many times anger comes because we don't want to submit to that authority over us or that person speaking into our life. Psalms chapter 2. Take your Bibles. Let's go there real quick. Psalms chapter 2. Right out of the gate, the psalmist does this. He poses this question as the psalmist looks around in his world, as the psalmist is looking out and across the people around him. Here's what he says in verse number 1. Why are the nations so angry? Why is there so much anger? He that wasn't even living in 2020, right? He didn't experience 2020. He's not living in 2021. But yet he's looking out and saying, why is everybody so angry? Then he says this, why do they waste their time with futile plans? In this context, what's he talking about? Well, the very next verse, verse 2 tells us, the kings of the earth prepare for battle. These are those futile plans that he's speaking to. The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. In its context, the other nations didn't like that God was working out his plan and that there was going to be a kingdom, that David was going to rule, and that this nation Israel was going to have a prominent place in this Middle East area. They didn't like that. They were making plans. They were like, how can we stop this? And David calls them out and he says, they're fighting against the Lord. And I wonder if we back up and just ask the practical application. Hey, what's happening around us? Part of God's plan. He's working out a plan. He's the one in control. And yet we want to fight against it. We want to somehow think that we can do better, that we can change the outcome. Their cry. Notice how they're posturing. Their mindset was so wrong. In the very next verse, in verse number 3. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. That's how these other people saw this relationship with God. I wonder how many of us, how many Christ followers feel like we're in this slavery. We take this posture that somehow, and you know why they take this posture? Because they don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to this authority in their life or over their life. I mean, you stop and think about free ourselves from slavery. I remember when I was in fifth grade. I thought my fifth grade teacher was trying to like put me in slavery. And so I called him out in front of everybody. As he was walking out the door, I said, you're a slave driver. And I got into some more trouble for that one too. When I was in second grade, I was done with my mom. My mom tried to tell me when I had to clean up my room. She tried to tell me, you know, what I had to do. I was done with that. I said, I'm done. I go into my bedroom. I'm in second grade. I found a suitcase somewhere. I packed all my clothes into my suitcase. I grabbed my pillow and Froggy. That was my little frog that my grandmother made and filled it with beans. Remember those with the button eyes? Yeah, I had one of those. And I grabbed Froggy and out the door I went. And I was in the Modoc, Indiana, right? In the middle of nowhere. But I went out into the woods, making sure I could still see my house from wherever I landed, right? But I went out into those woods and I sat out there in those woods. I'm going to be free out here. I'm not going to have to answer to my mom. And then it became supper time. And I was like, maybe cleaning my room for some dinner isn't too bad after all. maybe, you know, doing whatever, submitting to the authority of my mom, maybe there really is freedom there. So I packed up my clothes, grabbed my pillow, and grabbed Froggy, and back to the house I went, willing to submit. And somewhere along the way, I learned that there's actually freedom in submission. And I remember being a teenager, and I would just say, hey, mom and dad, I'm going out. And I would leave, and I'd go pick up my friends, and I'd always hear their mom and dad say, hey, make sure you're back by, you know, whatever. And one day it dawned on me, I don't have a curfew. My parents never really gave me a curfew. What was up with that? My parents left me. I was 16 years old. My parents left and went to California. My dad was going for some job interview. He left a 16-year-old in charge of his younger sister, for the week or whatever. I don't remember how long it was, but I remember it was a long time. How did that happen? Because somewhere along the line, I learned that submitting to those in authority over me, there's actually freedom there. My parents knew they could trust that I wasn't going to throw some wild party. We weren't going to go get drunk and smoke pot. We weren't going to do all that. I would just carry on with my normal behavior. And that's exactly how Paul describes the Christ follower's relationship with God. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Will you hear that? You have been called to live in freedom. It's not slavery. It's a freedom that we get to have when we bring ourselves into submission to God's authority over our life. But then he says, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, he says what? Use your freedom to serve one another in love. This is the freedom that God calls us to live in. Are you living in that kind of freedom? Or do you rebel against it? And that's why there's anger on the inside of you. Back in our text. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. So, you know, back in its context, you know, the psalmist is seeing these nations becoming angry. They create these plans against God, going to try and stop what God is doing. And God is sitting up in heaven, just kind of just shaking his head. They don't get it. It's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and they still don't get it. And then the Lord scoffs at them. It turns from laughing to, like, really? You need to stop. Then, in anger, he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. Isn't this something that we have lost in our culture? A reverent fear of who God is. Have you ever, I mean, stop and think about this. Here they are trying, you know, coming up with these plans of how they're going to stop God. He's the one who, you know, he's the one who gave them breath. He could just say the word and breath would stop. There is a holy, a reverent type of fear that we all need to have of God. Not like, oh, I'm scared of you. But just the way that God and the power that he has, a holy, reverent fear. Do you have that kind of fear? A holy, reverent fear. Because here's what happens. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem, on my holy mountain. God had created a plan. He's working out his plan. And no matter how much anger wells up inside of you against how your life is working out, no matter how angry you get, God would say, I have worked out my plan. David's going to be the king. And I am going to continue this kingdom. And look at this. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, the Lord Yahweh said to me, you are my son, and today I have become your father. What he's saying is David's still going to be the king. In this context, in this kingdom, and several, many actually, biblical scholars argue that this is a prophetic bent or leaning into that one day Jesus, this is speaking about Jesus prophetically, that Jesus is going to be that king when he comes as Messiah to reign and to rule. We can't change that. You're not going to change that, no matter how hard you fight against it. So, submitting to God, there's freedom in that. Freedom in you. In verse number 10, and now then, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Let's apply that to us. If you're a manager, if you're a supervisor, if you have some kind of oversight over other people, parents, you know, school teachers, you need to be careful how you act, how you live out, how you treat those around you. Why? This is so important so that you don't elicit, so that you don't create that anger inside of others. Help them. And remember that you, those in authority are under authority. How many times have somebody, you know, walked out of their job and think, I'll just go start my own business then. Right? And how long did that last? Not very long for many. We need to act wisely. We need to deal with that. And then he says this, serve the Lord with reverent fear. There it is again. That holy, you know, awe, fear of who God is. And rejoice with a trembling. Submit to God's royal Son. There we see it again. Submit. And I want to apply this in two different ways. I want to apply this to those of you who may be here online in South County. I want you to think, have you really submitted your life to Jesus as Messiah, as Savior? Have you submitted your life to Him? Maybe that's the very first step that you need to take, is to admit and submit to God that you need Jesus as a Savior. Do you need to do that? And then let me ask you, Christ follower, are you trying to live your life outside of God's authority? Do you need to submit to the authority of God's in your life? God's called us to live in a way that will bring Him honor and glory, and you can't do that outside of submission to His authority. How are you living your life? This is why we're saying your anger in the moment could cost you tomorrow, but daily submission brings the freedom for today and tomorrow. The very first next step on your connection card. If you're online, find that connection card link and click on that. We want all of us. There's a next step for all of us here. This one, I need to submit instead of fight against God's rule in my life. And again, I want to say this applies in two different ways. To those of you who haven't submitted to Jesus Christ as Savior, this is your first next step. You need to submit to Jesus as Savior. And then to those of you who are Christ followers and you know that you're not submitting to God's rule. God's calling you to do something or live in a way. You know His word is clear. And you're like, nope. Would you today submit? Because there you can find freedom. We want to pray for you. The other next step on there says, I'll take an inward look at identifying the reason for my anger and then seek God's word to help me to respond in a godly way. Will you pause long enough this week? You've heard multiple people, or maybe you don't even need to have people tell you. You know it's there because you know when your heart starts beating. You know when you can feel it rising. And will you take time to try and identify, where's that coming from? Why do I get so angry when they do whatever they do? But ask yourself, why? Why is that there? And then here's what you do. Pull out your phone and Google Bible verses about anger. That's really simple. Google, and you're going to get a hit immediately. And there's multiple sites that will come up with 25 verses, 30 verses. And then you take those verses and then you read them. And then you pray them over yourself. You say, God, help me this week. Help me today not to respond out of anger. Holy Spirit, produce in me a gentleness, a self-control that only you can produce. This is a step that you need to take. Will you let us know? If it's easier for you to text the word pray, text that word pray to us, 401-496-9710. That's our texting. Now listen, when you text that, you have to click on the link that immediately shows up as a response. And then that's when you give us your name and your phone number and how to pray for you. So make sure that you take that step as well. Hey, for our guys that are listening online or here in the room, there's a third next step. And we're inviting you to be a part of a group of guys for 6 weeks that's going to start week of May the 3rd. It says, I will sign up for a six-week course, Authentic Manhood. It's 6 weeks. And guys, we're encouraging you to be a, what a better place to come in than be with a bunch of guys and say, man, I lost it at work with my boss. I lost it at home with my kids or my spouse. Pray for me. We encourage you to be a part of this. Just let us know and then we'll get you the contact. Ladies, we know guys aren't the only ones who struggle with anger. Ladies, we know you do too. We have a great mentoring program. And maybe you just need to talk this out with another lady. We would love to connect you with a mentor. Reach out to the office. Call the office. Email the office. office@ccfchurch.net. And we will connect you with the right people. God, come and do the work that only you can do in all of us. And thank you for your grace. For when we do mess up, there's a good grace.